Well, it gives me great pleasure to welcome back Kyle Gring. Green, the owner of Green Mortgage Team, a great website, greenmortgageteam.ca. Take a look at all about him and his great team about mortgages. Welcome, Kyle.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Well, if you go onto the channel that you're on and take a look, you've seen him several times during the last year, and it's always interesting to get his take on what's going on in the mortgage market. And the interesting thing is that the market may be better, but the deals that are tougher, right? And I think that's where actually, in my view, and what I know from you, you are more of an investment type mortgage broker. You're very strong at fixing deals that went down.
Yeah, we've been, oddly, Aussie, December is actually going to be my biggest month of the whole year. And I think this week, so this is the week of the 16th to the 20th of December, is going to be the biggest week of the entire year for fundings. Yeah.
Well, why is that? People want to get in before January or?
Well, you know how it is, Aussie, when you say that you're going on vacation and then everybody tries to rush in. So a few months ago, my underwriter, my number two, I told her, you need to take vacation. She's like, Kyle, there's no way. We're always so busy. I can't take vacation. I'm like, no, you have to take vacation. So she said, well, when am I supposed to go? I said, December is usually quiet. So she's away this week. And this is her busiest week of the whole year. So
how to stimulate your business. Send everybody away and then you're there. Yeah. I have a lot of that, you know. Secretary, who has a secretary anymore? Isn't it all AI assistants? And, you know, and as long as they're still there, you feel safe. But then it gets busy, you know. Like today, I'm doing three videos and two of them are paid, you know. So it's been a very busy month for me too. It's crazy, but it's a good thing, right? I mean, we want to be busy, you know, and also your talent we've done lots of shows together. You were part of an institution at the Landrush conferences, and your thing was always to be prepared. Like we have my real estate company sold some units, I think about 50 of them that close in May next year. At what time should, a guy look for his mortgage?
Yeah, I mean, to be frank, sooner the better. And so just to give everybody some feedback, a lender can hold their, you know, typically their best rates for about 4 months. Sometimes they'll have what's called a quick close, which is a more compressed timeline where they might have a better rate for a 60-day period or something like that. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't get pre-approved and get ready and get all your information and documents in, because what we've been there's a couple issues and challenges. And one of the things I've noticed one of the reasons that my December is very, very busy is that we had a lot of developers who looked like it was going to get done in January. And all of a sudden, closing notices, December 18th, 19th, 20th, they're all trying to get done right before the holidays because it costs them tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars per month to hold the property, right? So there's a big push for them because they know if they miss this date, they can't go a week later and try to expect to close during the holidays. So they're probably going to lose at least 3 weeks or even 4 weeks of interest. So that's one reason. And then on the other side, we had a lot of clients, especially on the pre-sales, that didn't want to close. And they're trying to assign it. And so they're not getting the mortgage documents into us because they're like, that's going to be a waste of time. I'm going to assign the contract. And I have to say that right now it's very difficult to assign a pre-sale contract. Very few people are successful unless you're willing to take a hit on it, it seems.
A big hit. Yeah.
And so my concern is, yes, even if you plan on assigning it, you still need to prepare to close and starting sooner. So even though we can only hold rates for about 4 months and the best rates are often 60 days, keep in mind the developer, you know, you don't know exactly when they're going to close. So it's better to have everything prepared. Also, in many of the cases that we're getting, we have these clients that are not sending us their documents because they want to assign it, and then they get us their stuff, and it's a mess. It's like, I wish
that everything is missing.
Months ago, because it's like, well, now our only financing option is this more expensive option, and there's friction because now a customer that doesn't even want the property doesn't have to pay higher rates to close on it, and there's just a ton of friction, right? So if we start earlier, as an example, let's say that you're self-employed and you're closing in the middle of next year. Well, maybe we should have a discussion about what your taxes should look like. Maybe we can say, hey, in order to qualify for this, instead of filing your taxes here, just inch them up just a little bit. You'll pay $3,000 more in taxes, but you're going to save $10,000 more on the mortgage, you know? Right. So there's little things like that that we can do, but we can't do that if we don't talk in advance. If you just give us what it looks like and we don't have time to tweak anything, then we're kind of stuck.
The more difficult your situation is, particularly on the self-employed side, that's not anybody's fault. It's simply that, you know, as a self-employed, generally you don't have your ducks as much in a row as if you work with a company that has an accounting department and they just sent you this stuff. But apart from just being ready, I know a lot of our investors, they have to have their rent roll and their income approved, you know, in this apartment building. And you know, some of them, believe it or not, they don't even have copies of that. You know, mm-hmm. I did a video yesterday with a gentleman, part of our real estate action group, who does a self-storage place. Well, he's so organized, he never sees any of his clients, right? They go online, if they don't pay, the unit itself closes itself online. I mean, he's organized. And if he needs a mortgage, he can show, this are all the people, this is how long they've been, this is, you know, this, they make their monthly payments all the time, this is my default rate. And I'm sure it's true in residential real estate as well.
Yeah, 100%. And we do run into this all the time, and especially with investors. You know, any investor who's gotten a mortgage, especially in the last couple of years, you know, it's just a lot of paperwork and it takes a lot of time. And the more pieces and the more variables you have, the more nuances there are where that doesn't quite line up with that. And so a lot of the time the bank will ask for a lease and then 3 months of deposits to verify it. And oh, right, well, the lease says this, but then I delivered a notice to increase the rents and they can't find that document, so it's not quite lining up, and there's questions, and there's just a lot of that back and forth, especially with clients that have a lot of rental properties. And so you have to start early. It takes a long time to get through all the documents. It's an investor easily is 5 to 10 times more documentation than a first-time buyer who's probably salaried. You know, it's a lot easier to do those.
And yet, you know, I mean, I'm quite sure that the banks are also tougher. I mean, I don't know what they're foreseeing, but, you know, the news is full of mortgages coming due, although maybe a bank actually will like a buyer or an owner whose mortgages come due. At least they've been making the payments for the last 2 years, and maybe they're going to steal each other's mortgages, you know, and make offers. That's where they need somebody like you, because the government says, hey, you can move your mortgage without getting a penalty, right? And maybe they come and see their favorite mortgage broker saying, well, you're actually pretty good where you are. Or, well, if you moved over there, you can save 0.5%. And 0.5% on a $600,000 mortgage is a big deal. And then but all of the questions on what I get more questions on, what is an adjustable mortgage versus a variable mortgage and what's a fixed rate? And some people seem to think a fixed rate only applies to the 5-year term, but that's not really true, is it?
Correct. Yeah, you can take a fixed rate anywhere from 1 up to 10 years. Obviously, when you go over 5, the last time I've seen somebody take a 6-year term, I don't think I've ever done one of those. 7-year occasionally, 10-year occasionally. Obviously, in hindsight, more people should have taken 10-year a couple of years ago.
5 years, yeah.
It was looking pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Not very many clients take those types of terms. Now, that being said, you can take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Important to note, we're in an interesting environment where the finance people will say that the bond yield curve is inverted, meaning that short-term money is more expensive than long-term money. Usually, it's the opposite or it's flatter. So you usually don't see that short-term money is more expensive, but that is what we're seeing currently. So a 1-year fix or a 2-year fix would be more expensive than a 3, 4, or 5-year. So that's something to keep in mind, but you can take different terms. And most clients, I would say, clients that are taking fixed rates, most are taking the 3-year fixed rate. That seems to be the sweet spot where the rates aren't, it's not too long of a term, but also not too high of a rate. And then on the other side, the variable, which is, most of my clients, the vast majority are going variable right now, just because of the projections on where the Bank of Canada is likely to go and based off of the projected amount of interest. So that's something to look at. And obviously, I've got a spreadsheet. We update it every 4 weeks. You know, I love spreadsheets, Aussie. So we map out the current Bank of Canada expectations. We update it. And then that way you can compare a fixed versus a variable and see which one makes more sense.
So all the more reason to get to your mortgage broker, and particularly a mortgage broker like you, as soon as possible, because you got to understand an adjustable simply means that it adjusts with the prime rate, the interest, right? And sure. But does it adjust the payment as well?
Yeah, so the interest will always adjust if it's variable or adjustable. But what doesn't move if you're in variable is the payment. If you're in an adjustable, the payment does move. And so a lot of people are preferring the adjustable now because the expectations of the Bank of Canada will go down, which means your payments will also go down. In particular, if it's an investment property, because
Sure.
on an investment property, you don't want to be making extra voluntary prepayments on that mortgage to pay down the principal. So most banks in Canada are a variable rate mortgage, which means that especially if you get that on a rental, your payment is set, and then as the rates go down, you're just making extra lump sums on the mortgage and paying it down faster, which is usually counterintuitive because of taxation reasons. So most clients are going for the adjustables now. But 2 years ago or 3 years ago, when the rates were going up, a lot of clients wanted the fixed payment option because they didn't
Right.
want payments to go up. They didn't want to pay extra payments on those rentals, right? So yeah, it depends on the customer. If it's an owner-occupied property, then maybe you do want to just have the payment set and just chip away at that mortgage faster as the rates go down. But usually investors want the adjustable mortgage.
All the more reason you got to sit down with somebody and talk. There's a lot of questions that you have answered, and I mean, to have your spreadsheet really helps, but it's still only a guess, right? I mean, all the banks, like in the United States, this week we had a big crash in the stock markets in the US, primarily because the expectation was there would be four more declines in interest rates in the US next year. And Chairman Powell made it clear that two and maybe none are indicated. And so, what are you supposed to do as a homeowner? So, you've got to look at all of your options, you know, and saying, well, if the Bank of Canada is right, and if Benjamin Toll and some of the gurus of the big banks are right, next summer might be the low, or next fall might be. But you're unfortunately in a position, you have to make the call. But you can't make the call if you wait till the last minute, and then you're worried about, do we have the documents? I don't even know where I put my rental agreements or whatever it is that is needed. I find that also, I get sort of the message that as a first-time buyer, it's difficult to get a mortgage, more difficult than an investor. Is that right?
It depends on the situation. It's I mean, in a way, it's harder just because you're getting into the marketplace. You're putting less than 20% down in many cases as a first-time buyer, and then you'd have to adhere to the insurer guidelines for debt servicing and everything. So if you put more than 20% down, there's a lot more flexibility with that. So to give you some perspective, usually the banks want the housing related expenses to be no more than 39% of your income. But if you're putting more than 20% down, you often get exceptions to 44 or even 48% of that.
Because you have to have more security because you put more down payment. Yeah.
And it's basically that if you're going with an insured mortgage, you have to use the lowest common denominator for policies, which is going to be the insurer policies.
Yeah.
But then if you're just dealing with a bank with 20% down, then you get to be a bit more flexible, right? So.
Yeah, and interesting. Well, it's an interesting year ahead because a lot of the mortgages that were taken out 3 years ago or 5 years ago even come due this year. So now, there's sort of the story the government says you can take your mortgage and go to another institution if they have a better rate. What's your view
Yeah.
on that?
It'll make a bit of a difference. I don't think there's a lot of customers that I deal with where so what the rule is that you don't have to stress test the mortgage if you're moving from one federal institution to another federal institution. And so the thought is that if it was federally approved before using the OSFI guidelines, then in theory you should be able to transfer it without having to redo that. Because if you just renewed with the existing bank, you don't have to re-qualify. But if you move it to somebody else, you do have to re-qualify. So the government did it primarily just to increase competition a little bit and to ensure that customers don't feel like they're locked in to just having to renew with their existing bank at whatever they're willing to give them to make sure that there's more competition on renewals. I don't see that the qualifications has been that much of a challenge. Sometimes it is, and where I do find it's more of a challenge is usually when people took a they were first-time buyers. They took a 25-year amortization, and they're down to 20 years now. And I do find that sometimes, in order to re-qualify to move it, we're actually extending the amortization now up to 30 years because they have that 20% equity in their property now. But also, even if it wasn't for qualification reasons, I find a lot of clients are doing that just to keep their payments about the same. So that's
Yeah.
one strategy to mitigate and offset it. Obviously, you don't want to just kick the can down the road and add an extra 10 years to your mortgage. But at the same time, too, to manage your cash flow, that's what a lot of people are doing is they find, oh, I want a 20-year, 25-year initially, now down to 20 years. If they kick it out to 30 years, the payments remain about the same to renew. Yeah.
But so I just want to make it clear. So obviously I was wrong. You do have to re-qualify if you go to another institution, or is it just a stress test?
Yeah, but you have to be. But there's no stress test.
Oh, well, that's not really a big deal then. I mean,
it's not. Yeah.
No,
it doesn't actually affect a large percentage of borrowers. I find the majority still qualify. So it's not a big deal. It is going to help those marginal clients that can barely make their payments, you know, but I guess for me too, I don't have a lot of those types of clients in my portfolio. So it's, yeah, it doesn't make a huge difference.
Yeah. So how do you see the who do you agree with? What are the rates going to be next year? You know, I was going to ask that question.
I don't know. The crystal ball stopped working around January of 2022, Ozzy.
Yeah,
So who knows? Okay. So the general, I'll tell you what I have high confidence in. I have high confidence the Bank of Canada will drop another quarter point in the first quarter of next year, and then probably at least, you know, one more quarter in the second quarter next year. So Bank of Canada will probably be down, you know, a quarter percent to half a percent by the midpoint of next year is quite certain. That's what the traders are betting on. And there's a very high chance or high likelihood based on what they're seeing. And so that's the current expectation. On the bond market, it's really hard because the Canadian bond market, which is what impacts fixed rates, is very tied to the US bond market. Right. And the Trump situation, the tariffs, and all of these things are throwing that all through a loop. So it makes it a lot more difficult to understand where they're going. And if I pulled up a bond chart, it's up and down and up and down. There's been 40 or 50 basis point swings in the last 2 months, you know, like
massive. Well, even the last 2 weeks, you know, the 10-year rate went over 4.6%, you know, and it was 3.8 just 6 months ago.
Yep.
So yeah, it's almost like a mug's game. Well, so if I were to get a mortgage now or change the terms, wouldn't I be better off if that scenario holds true, that we're getting a quarter down and another quarter, say by September? Wouldn't it be better off to just go and not fix at all and just go variable till that date and then lock in?
Yeah, that's what a lot of clients are doing. Is it's going to be really hard to time the low point fixed rates, right? So yeah. I don't know when that's going to be, but it like as a general expectation, I think that the expectation is bonds will probably be a quarter to maybe half a percent lower at the bottom point somewhere in the next 6 to 18 months. That's like such a wide gap there.
Yeah.
So, you know, taking a fixed rate today, there's probably going to be some swing downwards. It'll be a roller coaster though. It's gonna be up and down, up and down. And timing it that where your renewal or your refinance, whatever, is at that low point is gonna be tough. And of course the timeline too of, oh, I saw that the bonds were, you know, got lower. I'm gonna start a mortgage application right now. There's a timeline there where by the time that you get your stuff in, the rates might have gone up. That's where the variable is nice, because there's high certainty that regardless of what happens with Trump in the bond market, it seems highly likely the Bank of Canada still needs to cut.
Yeah.
And we might be getting to a point finally where the Bank of Canada and variable rates might be finally below fixed rate pricing, because for quite some time they've been above fixed rate pricing. But I think that trend will change at some point in the midpoint of next year.
What is the stress test now? What is the rate?
Yeah, so it depends. So if you took a 3-year fixed rate somewhere in the mid fours, which is what most lenders are pricing at, that means that the stress test would be in the mid sixes.
Six. Yeah. So, well, again, I've talked about this before in another video, that this tariff thing and Trump and all of these wonderful things. First of all, our dollar is now, as I forecast, I said we're going to go to 69 cents before year end. Well, we were 69 point something yesterday. But the tariffs, look, Trump is a negotiator. I know him for a very long time. As you know, I've had the privilege, he picked one of my stories in his book in 2009, which he called the best advice he ever received. Oh, for me, right? No, but of course, I got to do a little bragging. But the point is, from what I know about the man, look at the actions he takes, not what he says. Any good negotiator will always start out high, and then negotiate like hell and look strong and then settle for something else. For people to argue that our average tariff is going to be 25% higher is ludicrous. We are married, 70% of all our exports go to the United States, which means in the United States, all the companies are getting our spare parts and getting our fixed parts. When we are buying the spare parts, the auto industry is totally cross-border. I mean, there isn't a single car built in whole in the United States or in Canada. There's no way. Where is he going to put the tariffs? He's going to say, well, in this industry will be excluded and that will be excluded. We've always been arguing about lumber forever. I mean, every ever. And then finally, the Mexico, Canada, and U.S. trade agreement that has been signed by Trump doesn't really come due until 2026. So, I mean, you know, when you look at the media, I'm just going, everybody's nuts. Hey, just give it a break. Let him come in and let him do his thing. He went to China. They charged U.S. companies 12.5% duty, and the U.S. charged 2.5%. Even it out, and he scared them to death, and then they settled, I think, on 6 for both, or some darn thing. And that's what's going to happen, in my view. So certainly as a mortgage holder or mortgage guy, I wouldn't worry too much about that. What you should worry about is the leading bankers, people like yourself who are in the industry and talking to banks all the time. Maybe sometimes they need to match funds. Sometimes the four-year rate is the best rate, you know, because they have taken huge deposits. The only person who knows the answer to that is somebody like you. And I would urge everybody to call your office if they can't get a hold of you, because you're very busy. I know you get back to everybody and you assign the right person to that. And particularly if you're an investor, you have a tricky mortgage. I don't want to throw all the bad business your way, but yeah. there is a magic to it, you know, yeah. that somebody here can't do it. But you look at a person saying, don't go here, don't go this, and don't go there. They, you know the rules intimately because of years and years of dealing with those banks. And so certainly anybody that has a pre-sale that comes to you, even next year sometime, sit down and then figure out all the stuff you need to put together. Even if you did nothing else, but you're ready when you're ready, right? And now yeah. the guy says, okay, do you have this document? And do you have those documents? You know, are you really married? You know, whatever it is. And put it all together, right? So I would certainly urge him to do that. Do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners and viewers?
No, I think the only other thing that I'll mention there, Ozzy, is there is an opportunity for a lot of customers that that are in fixed rate mortgages right now. That may be able to save money by refinancing. So in particular, the segments that almost always make sense to save money is anybody that took a fixed rate mortgage in the second half of 2023. Most of those mortgages were priced 5.5+. And the penalty to break the mortgage is in general less than the savings of going into a new mortgage. So in many cases, the math is that you make up for the penalty over 1 year, and then the second year of your current, you know, 3 years you currently have in your existing mortgage is all bonus savings. So a lot of clients are saving 6, 17, 23. I've had one client that was up to $47,000 in interest wow. savings refinancing. So not everybody makes saves money. There's a calculation, but as you know, I've got a spreadsheet for that. makes yeah. it easy. Very quick calculations. We can assess whether it makes sense or not. And then we also compare whether it makes sense to go into a fixed or a variable right now to take advantage of what is expected to come down the pipeline. So that's what we've been fairly busy with as well.
Well, and I know that anybody that calls you and your office, that they'll get the best possible advice. And advice is what we need. This is a crazy time to make a decision, particularly on mortgages. Kyle, thank you very much. Everybody go down to the description. There's Kyle's website and there's Kyle's email. And, you know, call him. Find out what is the best thing for you to do. And in the meantime, have a happy Christmas, Kyle. And hopefully you get away for a couple of days yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be. So I'll get some time off. Happy holidays. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.